he saw the enthusiasm that Pat and Debbie had for lambs. And if you have a teaching background, you immediately, I think, would react very positively to the affordances of this technology. And of course, when I saw it, I said to James, there are two technologies that I've seen. I'm going to come to this. I just need to check on a couple of things here. There are two technologies I've seen in the last, let's see, I've been involved in the transition about as long as John, but there are two technologies I've seen. One is the synchronous platforms. I'm going to do that in a second. And like Centra, like Illuminate, I think that the power of those technologies is something that I'm pretty excited about. And so I came to see lambs with the same enthusiasm. And I was just making a transition from Singapore Polytechnic, which was a, how do you describe it, pre-university institute with 16,000 to 18,000 students who are really just into engineering and biological sciences. NTU is predominantly an engineering school. When I saw this, I thought, well, I can bring this with me to NTU, and I thought that immediately teachers would see its power. But what I didn't realize is that, and I'm going to come back to this, is that in university environments, many professors don't have the same background in teaching and learning, that they have mostly been presenting all their lives, presenting because they've been taught by people who, their professors who've presented. So I don't make, and I have not made any movements into constructivist, situated, contextual learning as of yet. What we've tried to do is build something. I'm throwing this here as just something that the enthusiasm that I thought they'd be manning up to use lambs. And the reality is that they are not. But we are having some success. This is what I'm hoping to do at some point in time. You'll be able to judge whether I'm successful in that. I've aligned this presentation around pedagogy problems, pragmatics, and performance. And I'll try and go through these as quickly as possible. You can see that when I talk about pedagogy here, a little bit of the history, I gave you the rationale. We integrated, so I came scrambling back into NTU and said, okay, let's go, James, let's integrate it into Blackboard as a building block. So we integrated it into Blackboard, so that was the first thing we did. And then the second thing that we did was we talked about, I was given the mandate, look, we want to put a distance education program together and take it away. So I immediately had to come up with something that built around what we were already doing. In our university, we lecture. That's what they do. So we were doing a recorded lecture. We introduced something called AccuLearn. So we were doing recorded lectures. They're encoded immediately, put up online. And so I saw that. I saw lambs, and I thought, okay, what can I do here? I want to immediately start building something that we can rapidly deploy. So this is RCDM, our Rapid Content Development Model. And basically, why? I didn't have a lot of time. I had developed a program. I'd put the first online learning program in place at Singapore Polytechnic on a life science curriculum. And it took me over a year and a half. And I had a graphics designer, a programmer, learning designer, a couple of other people. And it was not scalable. So immediately I saw that with LAMS, because of the interface that it presents, the ability to create a structured learning path, I saw that we could immediately build on the known. I found that going into the university, if you don't build on the known and build on the strengths that they already have, And those strengths, by the way, are predominantly related to making their presentations. Many professors have told me they're not interested in the learning of their students, that they're more interested in developing graduate students. So as I ran into that environment, I realized, okay, we have to do some things here. So I looked at an idea of a framework. I'm going to come in and I'm going to show you some of this. I was going to do this live, and then I realized there's no point. It takes a little bit too long to do the downloading, and 20 minutes is a very short period of time. So the first thing that I thought about was I liked Merrill's first principles. Let's engage them. Let's activate what they know. Let's demonstrate. Let's apply, and then let's integrate that. And I thought it's simple enough that that I can present that idea to the professors, and they can build around that. So that's the premise around which we began to structure our introduction of this software to our university staff. And we are focused mainly on developing the distance education program. And we are in the second year of the pilot. We have developed fully two online courses. We will have at least 7 fully ready and online by August. So we're ready to roll. But I'm not here to talk about the distance education model. I'm talking about how this came to be, because I think what we have realized in hindsight now is that this has worked better for us in terms of developing our expertise with this technology. So we focused on establishing a presence, and I'm going to show you how we've modeled these things. We took the idea that, look, let's take this structured, chunked content. All right. You think when you talk about build around concepts, that's an easy thing. So I would say to the learning designer, and Phoebe is here, I want to introduce Phoebe. Phoebe has worked really closely with me and is central to the success of this project. We thought it would be simple to talk to the professors and say, look, you're going to go in and you're going to do your lecture, right? Okay, what we'd like you to do is we'd like to build your lecture around 12 to 15 minute excerpts. If you can do that and you build it around concepts, we can then create activities pre and post and provide a sequence. And we thought, it works, but there has been a challenge in getting that, but we are now achieving much more success because we have shown a model that works. When you show them that it works and it looks good and they get the proper response from the students, they seem to respond more positively. So the model is, then we chunk it, then we apply. So, and I'll show you in a second what that means. And then we repeat the process. And so that creates a set of learning activities. Now, initially, we were running that as a whole hour. And then we broke it down into, 2 30-minute segments. We call it Learning Activity 1A and Learning 1 Activity B, because when they're in the online environment, it was a little bit more. Then we asked the professors, okay, think about how they can integrate what you've done to their understanding. And one of the things that we did for this integration is because I'm so fond of synchronous technologies, I said, all right, we will do 70% online and 30% it'll be synchronous. They'll log in from home and the professor can build on what he's learned about what they understand about the concept having gone through the activities. And then, or he can enrich it, or he can then take questions. And we've run this now, we've run it for 2 semesters. I will show you some of the results in a second here. So that's kind of a quick down and dirty overview of how we structured this. Okay, so one of the things that you can see here is you can see the interface. I'm hoping that it's not working all right. All right. You all know the interface with LAMS, obviously. What we did here is, this is a link to the content. We started, I don't like just text. I think that we have the technologies and we should be using them. So I'm not really fond of continuing to text to death. If I can present visually in any way, shape, or form, that's what I want to do. We have developed something. I developed this with another programmer. It's called a video FAQ, but what this does is with a webcam and a microphone, you can drop the program, you can do a narration, five minutes, 3 minutes, put it up on the web, and it's immediately available. So we showed them how this could be integrated as an engagement activity. So this professor is greeting the students. We don't have to go and film him. We don't have to call him into the studio. He just does it. He can greet the students and say, look, in this lesson, I'm going to be introducing such and such and such and such, and you can think about. Now, I talk about it like it's very simple. And for me, it is. But for the professors, there's still this new technology. I don't really usually go in and start engaging my students. You know, I think it's already engaged. So I threw all of that responsibility onto the learning designers. To go in and work with the professors and bring them up to speed on that. So we talk about presence. So we want to establish the presence right away. Remember that these students are doing this fully online. This isn't mail out, send back in. This is fully online using labs. We also, the most powerful feature for me for labs was this ability to generate student responses. Not in a blog, not in a discussion, not in a wiki. I want to ask a question. I want to ask you all a question here right now. But I can only have enough time to get 2 or 3 answers and then move on and get on with the lesson. I found that by we're trying to get them, what are your learning objectives for this course, etc. So the students, and this is the thing when James showed me, I can do all this with Blackboard, by the way. But that means because I can do it because of been using the tool for a very long time, but not everybody can. But this allows now for the professor to get an immediate sense of what the student knows. More importantly, it gives you or me, or if we're students, a very quick gauge of what we know about the content vis-a-vis the rest of our peer group. And very quickly you can say, hey, I don't have to work very hard, or man, I better get up to speed because things are not as they seem here. So this tool is very, very strong and powerful for doing that. So again, that's a part of I call creating purpose. Now, I'm not going to go into the responses, but the thing is, and I think James has shown you and other people have shown you, the responses are there. And the beauty of that is that the professor can then take this. And let me just share with you. When we first started doing this, the professors were, okay, Paul, We'll help you out here because the colleague said we got to put the program, we got to support you, right? When we brought in the ream of paper from the responses of the students when we first ran this education program into the professor for the synchronous session, the eyes were like this because in Singapore, I don't know whether it's culturally Asian, and I'll talk about it in a bit. In Singapore, the students will not answer questions in a lecture. It just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't happen to come down at the end. So now he was getting a very, very strong sense that his students, how much his students knew about the topic at hand. And that changed immediately when they started seeing that. It changed their attitude 180 degrees. Then we said to him, well, we still had the problem of they come on the synchronous and they sit there and go, any questions? You know, so it's like, okay, look, if you go into a classroom, you just sit there and go, any questions? No, you don't do that. You know, you do some engagement with your students, so in a synchronous environment, you have to do that. Here, look, all these activities or responses that you can generate in LAMS, now you can come in and you can build your lesson around what they know to expand on this content, or you can provide some remediation if, in fact, they don't get what you think that they are getting. So we were excited by that. I liked it for activating prior knowledge. This again, not a tick tick true and false multiple choice. I'm not so strong on that. I mean, as a preferred learning style. Although I tell you, I just finished doing my Nitrox PADI certification, and you know went through that whole sweat process of learning all over again. And by the way, if you ever want to find a very strong learning design, to have a look at the few PADI books that are out there. They're very strongly oriented. It's life and death, gang, you know? So
I like this activate prior knowledge. I can find out immediately what my students, remember this is distance, but you can also think about it in terms of getting a sense of what your students know before you come into the lecture. Now that means, if I say to you, okay, read chapter one and come to class. Remember, I don't know, when I was in university, when you were in university not so long ago, right? We would be told, okay, you read this before you come to class. And then that's what the discussion is going to be around, but then you hadn't read it, well, you know, you hide behind the rest, you hope they don't point, whatever. But here, if, and I'm working at expanding this into the classrooms now, the professors can actually get the students to do the reading and tell them what they know so that when they come into the lecture, they can be a little bit more directed. Well, that's the ideal world. Again, you can see that the answers are interesting. We still do the multiple choice, activate prior knowledge materials. Now, this is the demonstrate part. So he's done all that, engage, activate. Now he's going to demonstrate. So what we do is, this is the lecture recorded. Here are the PowerPoints. So that was the idea that that link that I showed you before, they take that link, they open this up, then they make the presentation. This material is structured. We try and keep it to around 12 to 15 minutes. Online, that's just about enough, all right? And then they can move on. And of course, as you know, in Lambs, if suddenly the wife says, "Hey, it's time to go and deliver the baby," I can close the activity and come back on and continue my particular sequence. So then we can apply the knowledge. So the beauty about this was, we don't ever have to worry a lot about programming, that the professors don't have to learn a new language. If they know anything about HTML, even if they don't, they can just plunk the materials in because what you see is what you get. Editor is strong enough to support that. We're doing a little bit more, but this here is the link to the video. Here is the question, all right? When we first started talking about this, the professors were saying, no, you can't do that. Because we're driven by formula, we're driven by equations. But what we did with the synchronous technologies, we can do a secondary input, they can write out the formula and explain it as they go along. So we solved that problem very quickly. Again, you can see here that the student responses, I mean, I don't understand any of this stuff, but Phoebe and I have sat through all of the presentations, the synchronous presentations for the last two semesters, which run from 6:30 to 9:30 on a Monday and Wednesday night. We've sat through all this stuff, so maybe a little bit of sinking in. We're getting, you know, some residual information. But the point is, the professors are able to get this kind of feedback and then build on it. We apply the knowledge. They're asking these questions. This is the kind of responses that the students are getting, which they weren't getting in their classrooms ahead before. And then, of course, we give them the model, integrate. We try and say, okay, you've demonstrated the concept. You've asked them to apply it. Now, can you integrate that to the larger context of the discipline? Now, I am very open and honest about this. I was doing collaborative and cooperative learning in 1984-85 as a professional development associate. Train the trainers, train the teachers. This idea is not new, but in a university environment, we haven't moved to cooperative and collaborative processes yet, because we want them to take the first step of getting to something simple like this, getting comfortable with it, because we know as soon as they see this, they'll make the next step, because this will save them time and energy. And again, you can see that the responses, I mean, I've taken these responses and play with them a little bit, are pretty interesting. I'd just like to show you, highlight for you some of the interesting data. Okay. The recommending this course, this is fully online. This was with our first cohort, 89% satisfaction. The satisfaction rates overall with this course, 95 and 86. You can see that in both of these surveys, the results are fairly similar. So we are running the latest survey now, But we are very happy with the response of the students to this online delivery. And I'm going to just slip back over here now to and come back for a second to moving on. So that's kind of how it looks in its larger perspective. I want to talk a little bit about the promise. We felt that professor appreciation has gone up substantively. We've focused on the idea that, hey, folks, you're free to do more research. We have a new provost has come in, and the agenda is research, but at the same time, want to improve the teaching and learning environment. And so what we are seeing is the professors are saying, Paul, if you can show me something that's going to allow me time to do research, great. If you're going to show me something that's going to take my time to learn a technology, bye-bye. All right? So we're looking at modeling things that are interesting. We're seeing that the professors are getting a sense that their students, whether they understand it or not, they're getting a good sense of that information. There's a focused tutorial engagement. They're finding that in our synchronous tutorials, that there's more engagement, more focus. And there's an increased engagement with their students, which they didn't have before. So we're excited about that. In terms of student engagement, from an Asian context, I can tell you that we're seeing better questions from the students, and the students are giving more, are sharing more about what they know, which we think is interesting. The other thing is, they're liking. Now remember, these students are distance students in Singapore, but they're liking the idea that they don't have to come into the university. It's an hour by MRT or an hour on the subway. And Singapore has a very strong work ethic, and by the end of the day, if they have to travel all the way to the university and then sit through what essentially they could see online, chunked, it's a no-brainer. So they go for that, but they're liking that. So they can sit back at home, kick back, do their stuff as and when they need. There's a better understanding of their own knowledge related to their peer group. That's clear. They can see very easily. And again, translate to increased engagement. What are we doing to extend the affordances? It's not all peaches and cream, okay? It's like a new technology. We have introduced e-learning weeks in anticipation of business continuity plans, right? I guess you're all familiar with that idea that if suddenly you were shut down because the avian flu hit, can you continue, right? Well, it's a moot point as to whether, you know, you want to be doing that or not, but in the interest of business continuity, we've been doing e-learning weeks. What we've been doing is going around and we're sharing that this is a way that the professors can create interactivity with their already pre-recorded lectures. You see, a lot of them are lectures are being recorded, so they're able to go ahead and do that. All right. There's ease of access. Okay, we're going to move into case-based, sorry, and problem-based. That's coming up. I've talked to James a little bit about that, so he's working with Diana Lorillard, and we're hoping to develop our own case-based, problem-based approach here. Ease of access. This is integrated within Adventure. I think Liz was saying that there was a problem with access for them at University of British Columbia. This is available in Blackboard. They just go to LAMS. I can show you that integration in a bit. We like the reusability and revision of learning activities. That's happening for us as well. And again, the rapid content development. What about pragmatics? I'm going to quickly go through obstacles. Buy-in, I've talked a little bit about that. Staff, again, until it was like proof the concept. When we proved the concept, we showed them this in the course site, then they were with us. But until then, it was, we were just talking. The students are okay with it because as long as they're getting feedback. If there's no feedback, they're not excited. So that's one of the feedbacks that I'm getting from the students in an informal way. Solutions. We've done selective staff rollout. We've created models, and we have also got a quick start manual that we provide for them. LAMS is not, I think that Heather? No, what was that? Young. not Liz, but the lady that works with you. Is that elementary? Leanne? No. One of the presenters, this is a problem with, you know, like the getting older, you can't remember people's names as well. She talked about the models and getting the people activated with the models. We are providing quick start manuals. Once the staff see the tool and they play with it a little bit, it's not too difficult. We're going around and we're doing college school roadshows, and we've done that with, now there are 7 engineering schools, there's a school of business, there's a college of science, and there's a school of art, design, and media. Art, design, and media folks, so humanities and social sciences. All of them are starting to, we've gone around, we've showed the shown the model, they can see its utility, and now for e-learning weeks, that's our wedge in, okay? How do we look at extending it? We're going to build on these e-learning week initiatives, and we're going to develop problem-based templates. That's the next phase. But like I say, keeping it simple for now, applying the engage, activate, demonstrate, apply, and integrate mantra, then we'll move on to doing more interesting things in the online environment. The performance, okay. Professors, so far, they're less resistant. They're now talking to each other. The students, what we found, they want more feedback. We're the last people to say that what we've done with the LAMS activities are like the standard, because we had to get it up and running. It can be better, and it can get better once they see it, once they begin to think more creatively about how they can ask questions of their students, what kind of learning tasks they can give their students, what kind of learning support they can create from within the LAMS, I think that we'll be moving more properly forward. Okay, I think I've said enough on that. I just want to quickly come back here I know you're all sitting there, right? Okay, can I be excused? I'd like to go. My brain's full. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like for us in our integration. I don't know whether we haven't shown you this yet, but I don't know what, I still don't know what the integration looks like, because we did this one on our own. But you can see that here are 86 learners who started it. What I wanted to say was that because the students will not necessarily go through the LAMS activities with us in our distance program, because we made the video index available, so they didn't have to go back through the activity to get it. So we've stopped that. We're forcing them to go through the activities because of the benefits that are there. And the video index is only released a week later, so that forces them to go through. This is the way it looks, our integration. These are the responses that you can see from the students. This is an example, I think I'm going to finish on this. This is an example of how I've used it moving out of the distance and moving into the real world. This is a professor's School of Computer Engineering. So we created enough activities so that what we wanted to do was the ideas, okay, give them a motivating question, give them the content, then ask them to summarize, and then after that, we release it. That's the down and dirty. Probably no time for questions. Okay.
Perhaps if you'll join me first in thanking Paul for a great presentation. I'm sure there are many questions, but because we're running late to time, perhaps I'll ask you to grab Paul over lunch on that.